Well, I'll start with this before I get in. You know, I get a lot of praise from Bob and some of the older guys here, but I swear every time I get praise from them, I just feel like what are you talking about? Like, I know myself better than anybody. It's rough. So praise the Lord that something's showing, but man. And also with that being said, I mean, just like Mason said, I'm humbled after everybody got up here, you know, spoke to my heart, got me right before getting up here. I'm humbled, and, you know, I feel like the prodigal son, when he came back to the father, he's like, I'm not even worthy, Lord, worthy, Father, to be your son. And it's like, man, that's how I feel. So anyhow, I'm going to go ahead and get into it. So start off with this. Back in October, I began to think about getting a dog. And I wasn't really, I don't know what's funny, but I wasn't really sure about if I should get a dog. I mean, when I thought about this, and this might be a little bit funny, everybody's like, I see my family like, you got a girlfriend yet? I'm like, no, I'm not even ready for a dog. So that's a big step for me. Like, seriously, that's a big step for me. So it's a lot of commitment, you know. With a dog, you got to put in the time, the effort, you got money, you got to pay for their food, their vet, take them outside, you know, potty train them. You got to go through that struggle. So I wasn't sure. And then I went on a 10-hour car ride to Texas and out of boredom started researching dogs. And, well, 10 hours there, 10 hours back. By the time I got back, I had found out a dog I wanted. Realized I didn't want that dog, found out the dog I really wanted, and then messaged about 20 different people seeing if they had a dog. So I learned a valuable lesson. Next time I go on vacation, I'm going to fly, because if not, I'm going to end up making an impulsive decision. Because next thing I knew, I was driving 5 hours to Illinois to pick up a puppy. Black Lab, if anybody's asking. But it really wasn't until after I got my puppy that I realized I was in for it. I was in for a journey. So, but something the Lord taught me, I learned pretty quickly that I'm a lot like my puppy. I'll give you some examples. I'm nosy. I get in the wrong stuff. I'm needy, stubborn. I got the most stubborn dog. The Lord would, of course, give me that to show me who I am. Impulsive, impatient, easily distracted. And I don't know if you guys have ever had a puppy and you've just seen the way that they can put down some food. That's me. I'm serious. And you know, I always tell, like, my mom and my grandma, like I can't eat that. I'm gaining weight. And they're like, no, you're fine. Here's some more food. And I swear, and then maybe this is for a New Year's resolution. I had 3 people in one day this year say, have you gained some weight? And in the same day, I'm within 20, not even 24 hours, I think it was like my boss, a old customer I hadn't seen in like 6 months, and then my dad. So I was like, man, maybe that's a sign or something. But anyhow, that being said, open your Bibles and turn to Micah chapter 6, verse 8, somewhere in between Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John if you need some help. Bad joke, anyway. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. And I want to talk to you guys tonight about 3 things that I've learned from training my dog. And Micah 6, 8 says this. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. So the first point, it says, what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly? As I trained my puppy, his name's Gerard, it taught me the true meaning of obedience. It taught me what God meant here when it says to do justly. And I'll give you a little illustration to explain that. So when I trained my dog, the first thing I really thought about teaching him is I'm going to teach him to sit, I'm going to teach him to lay down. Pretty easy. You hold food above a dog, they'll sit, and you put food on the ground, they'll eventually lay down, and then you just put in some words and they'll do it. Well, one day, I go and I'm like, okay, I need this dog to lay down. And I say, hey, Gerard, lay down. Maybe I didn't say it that mean, but I said, lay down. And, you know, I noticed something. And I kind of just brushed it off. Later, I needed him to lay down again. And I said, hey, lay down. And then he did it again. And you know, I noticed three things about the way Gerard was acting when I told him to lay down that taught me about what it means to do justly. So the first thing my dog did, I said, lay down, and he huffed. He sighed. He said, like almost like a, do I got to? Like, really? Right now? And then he hesitated. He kind of like, he's like, thought about it, and then he didn't. So I had to say it like two or three times. And then the last thing he did, he finally laid down mostly. He laid down, and he realized I had treats in my hand, and he laid down, and he left about 3 inches off the ground. Like, hey, I'm laying down. Like, come on, give me the treat. So that taught me some things, though. I noticed that, and I'm like, and I was honestly angry. And I'm like, and then I had a still small voice. He's like, yeah, how do you think I feel with you? So that taught me some things about what God means. What doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly? True obedience is not just doing what somebody says. It's doing, and I'll use an analogy with God, because that's what is most important, obedience to God, not to man. Obedience to God is done just when God said to do it. There's no hesitation. You know, when I was going through Discipleship 1, Taylor, who got up and preached first, he said something that a preacher had told him or spoke. He said, 1% hesitation is 100% rebellion. And I never understood that. Like, it never clicked. I heard it, I remembered it, but I never understood it. And then I saw my dog huff and hesitate. And I said, yeah, that's rebellion. So obedience is done just when God said to do it, no hesitation. It's done just the way God said to do it. There's no cutting corners. There's no laying down with 3 inches off the ground expecting God to give you a treat or expecting God to reward you. You don't cut corners. If God says do it, you do it the way he said it. Exactly the way he said it. And then the third thing I learned from obedience from that was it's just because he said to do it. That's it. And you know, maybe with a puppy, he doesn't understand that with me, but I would think with Christians and with me, I should understand that with God. I mean, think about that. God says, go witness to that lost man, that lost woman. And I say, are you sure, Lord? Like, okay, well, let me fill up my tank first. And then that person drives off. Well, hey, there was a reason I was telling you to go. God says, hey, there was a reason I was telling you to go do it right then. Now that person's probably going to go get in a car crash and die and go to hell. For all I know, there's a reason for his timing. Or I go to give a tract to them, and then I leave. When God said, witness, he said, tell them about me. Tell them what I did for you. And I said, I take the shortcut. I lay about 3 inches off the ground. I give them a tract. You know, we Christians like to do that stuff. Amen. Or sometimes we honestly just don't want to do it. Let's be real. Let's get honest. You know, we're going into New Year's. Hey, I'm not saying you got to make a New Year's resolution, but let's just be honest. We don't want to do everything God says. Amen. Just like my puppy didn't want to lay down. Hey, sometimes God says, hey, go tell them about me. Lord, I really don't want to right now. I'm kind of occupied. That's what we do. You know, I think about that. I mean, realistically, what if somebody didn't feel like, what if Dell didn't feel like giving me that track that day? What if he didn't? I wouldn't be here right now. I'd probably be dead and in hell or in a jail somewhere with some of the stuff I was doing. What if he just didn't feel like it, so he didn't do it? I'm going to tell you guys something. Look, when God says witness to somebody, and this is really with anything, and you don't feel like it, hey, do it anyway. Do it anyway, okay? If you can't come at it right, just go at it, okay? And we're talking about with souls going to hell, a burning lake of fire, okay? Just because I don't feel like it, I should still go do it. God can still use me with my bad attitude to give him a gospel track and to say something. That could be the difference of eternity in eternity. I'm going to say that one more time, eternity in heaven or in hell. Do it anyhow. People need to hear. There's not going to be one excuse at the judgment seat of Christ for me or for any of us. And even if I don't feel like it, but maybe, I just think about the preciousness of their soul the way God does. And I say, okay, I'm going to go do it. Maybe it doesn't burn at the judgment seat of Christ. Maybe a little gold flake passes through that fire. I don't know. How about our Bible time, huh? God wants to be first in our day, but you know, I found that tends to be pretty easy to put off. You know, okay, Lord, well, let me just eat my bowl of cereal first. You know, I got to feed the physical man, obviously. It's easy to cut short. You know, hey, how about I just pray and then I read a chapter when God wants me to study this or he wants me to read a couple chapters. It's easy to cut it short. You know when God's telling you to do something. And it's very easy to come at the Bible and spend time with God with the wrong heart attitude. You don't want to be there. It happens. Just be honest. But hey, do it anyhow. Obedience is done justly, just when God said to do it, just the way God said to do it, and just because God said to do it. What doth the Lord require of thee? Think about you, to do justly. And now my second point, it says, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? And it says, to love mercy. And this one really, it honestly stumped me for a while when I was thinking about this. I knew this was my text, but this one really got me. I couldn't put this one together. So I thought about it, and you know, training a dog can be very frustrating. If you've ever done it, hey, it's frustrating. Right as you think you've made a breakthrough, your dog goes and pees three times in the house, at least mine, okay? So he's got a pee problem, I swear, I don't understand. He's like, it doesn't make sense. He'll pee and then run to the door. I'm like, no, it's the other way around. So anyhow, well, one night, while walking away from Gerard, my puppy, after sparing not the carotid correction, as they say, with love, of course, the Lord hit me with conviction. He said, hey, where's the mercy that I showed you, Dylan? Where's the mercy? Hey, you think he meant to do it? And you know, when he pees and runs to the door, clearly shows he meant to go outside. Where's the mercy I showed you? And then he had another little sentence he gave me. He said, do others see the mercy I've shown you in your life, Dylan? Well, after I got done whooping Gerard for peeing in the house again, I thought about that. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to love mercy? I thought about the mercy that God had showed me, how I was a guilty sinner. I knew for 3 weeks when I got saved that I was going to die and go to hell, and I knew where I was at. I was deserving of hell because of my sins. Not because of anybody else's actions, my own actions. I know the wicked stuff I've done. I was deserving of hell, and I was rotten to the core. Yet the holy God of creation, the holy God of the universe, God, looked on me with love and gave that which he loved most in his Son, God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on this earth, to suffer and bleed and die, so that I didn't have to pay for my sins. That's mercy. You know, me not beating my dog is not comparable to that. Isaiah 53:5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. I like to think about that verse, and I take the R out and I put my, but, you know, however you want to work it out. The very flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was torn brutally for me and for you. Yet where is God's mercy in our lives today? Have you received God's mercy for the first time? Like I did on October 28th of 2020, have you ever received it? Okay, let's say you're saying, yeah, I have. Then where is it? Does it show to lost people around you, to your coworkers, to your family here at church, to your family? Does it show? And I'm not saying, hey, you're not beating them for doing something wrong. Does it show in your witness? Does your gratitude for what Jesus Christ did for you, the mercy God showed on you, show a change in your life? Does it show does it show mercy in your witness? How about in your speech, in the way you talk? The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Does it show in your service, in your attitude? Where is the mercy of God in your life today, in my life? What doth the Lord require of thee but to love mercy? If you really understand and love the mercy that God has given you by his great sacrifice on Calvary that we've already sung, it says he was wounded for me. It says he gave all for us. That should affect our choices and actions. Everything we do in this life should be done and thought of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And that's what I'm saying right there. The mercy God showed on us on the cross should show in our actions because we're thankful and we love that mercy. What doth the Lord require of thee but to love mercy? 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. And that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about because he loved us, our love should show in our actions because of that love for that mercy. He's done so much for us, yet what have we done for him? What have I done for him? Amen. I'm saying we, I'm saying you, but I'm preaching to myself. Hey, like I said, this is what the Lord's taught me from it. What doth the Lord require of thee but to love mercy? Now, lastly, training my dog has taught me some things about my walk with God. It says, what doth the Lord require of thee but to walk humbly with thy God? Humbly means in submissiveness. And the Bible compares our relationship with Christ to a walk with God. That's the way you live each day. That's the choices you make each day. Are you spending it with Jesus? When I walk my dog, I want him to walk right next to me with slack on the leash and just thankful to be right there. Are you taking steps with Jesus Christ each day? What doth the Lord require of thee but to walk humbly with thy God? And I found that when I go to take my puppy on walks, there's a lot of things that are comparable to my walk as a Christian with the Lord. There's pretty much about three things that Gerard will typically do on our walks. The first thing he does is he'll find something interesting on the ground and then he'll just stop. And sometimes it's the most ridiculous things. It's like just a piece of dirt. He'll just stop. And I'm like, hey, like, come on, we're having fun. And he's like, nope, this piece of grass is more interesting. And I thought, man, that's profound. That's just like me and God. That's right. The Lord wants me to be walking by his side. He wants me to walk through the pages of his word each and every day, even in my heart. But then I find something just laying around that interests me. And then I just, bye, Lord. Hey, I'm staying here. I want to be where I'm at right now. And he's like, come on, come on. No, that's what we do. You know, the devil will leave stuff laying around to get you to stop walking with God. It's not going to change next year. You know, I always hear people say, 2020 was a bad year for me. 2021, 2022 was a bad year for me. I'm hoping next year is going to be different. Hey, it's not. It's not on the outside circumstances, but in here it can be different. With this book, it can be different. It can. There's always going to be giants, like Mason said, but we don't have to let them run over our land and keep us out of the promised land. The devil will leave stuff laying around. He'll leave a TV sitting in the living room, and you'll know, hey, oh, the Chiefs game's on. It's just laying. It's right there, Lord. Oh, my favorite show's on at 7 o'clock. Okay, well, hey, I mean, Bible time can wait. You can keep walking, Lord. What about our phones? You know, Ruckman gave a message, I don't know how many years ago, about the thief in the living room. And I'm just being honest. Man, you can call it personal convictions, but I think there's a thief in each and every one of our pockets today. Amen. Like, if we're being honest. Amen. Oh, a text from so-and-so. Hey, hold on, Lord. Let me... Okay. Oh, hello? Okay, I'm back, Lord. That's what we do. That's what I do. Even just opportunities. Oh, this person wants to hang out, and I haven't read my Bible today. Well, it's more interesting to go eat at Andy's on a Friday night with all my friends than just... It shouldn't be that way, but that's how I think, right? The Bible says in Hebrews 12:1, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How do we do that? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If Gerard would just keep his eyes on me and not look at what's on the ground, that little dead bird or whatever he finds, he probably would have no problem. I got the treats. That's true. I walk with treats. I'll give him them. If he'd just keep his eye on me, I'd reward him. I'd give him a treat every time. Oh, you're doing really good on the leash. That's what I do. We think the Lord's different? Anymore today, we can't stay focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. We just got so many distractions, so many things laying around. And I'm saying lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. I mean, realistically, we act as if everything's more important than what God's given us in his love letter, what God's given us in his salvation. I mean, what's more important than a personal relationship with God? Right. It's not, again, I'm preaching to myself. It's not a personal relationship with you guys for me. It shouldn't be. It's not a personal relationship with my TV, my video games, whatever it is. It should be with God. I mean, he's God. Like, you know, I think as you go on as a Christian, you get so dull and like numb on things because, oh, I've been going to church for 2 years and reading my Bible. But like when I first got saved and I was zealous then, and Lord helped me to get that zealous. Like when people are like talking about God, they just like would talk in like such a like a stale way. And in my mind, I'm like, it's God. Like, come on, like seriously. Like he created everything, God. Like, but why is that not the same way with me anymore, right? What doth the Lord require of thee to walk humbly with thy God? The second thing he'll do, besides just stopping at a piece of dirt or a dead bird, is he'll see something or somebody across the street, and then he takes off trying to go get it or starts walking. And you know, that's not cool, because here's the thing. There's cars in the street, you know? We go through discipleship, and we talk about our Christian liberty. Hey, on a sidewalk, there's lines. I don't want him to get out of those things, because he might get hit by a car. Most Christians, myself, like I said, I'm preaching to myself. If the shoe fits, wear it, though. But most Christians tend to step out of line and start walking in that street, right where the cars are. Right where the cars are. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about the sins that might take us out, that might kill you, that might just run you over and end it. And then you're not walking with God no more. Dylan was preaching on being spiritually dead. Hey, I've been there. We got to stay within the lines. You know, the sins of the saints are a lot of the ones that will kill you. Gossip, pride, envy, lying, bitterness, hatred. I've had my spells of bitterness and pride. Pride is something I struggle with, but regardless, vain thoughts, the things you watch and you listen to. I mean, PG isn't PG anymore. It's just not. Like, let's be honest. You know, those things are going to cross your mind just as they walk across the street. And what I'm saying is don't follow them. Look unto Jesus and stay with him. Stay with him. Don't go out in the street. It just might be the last time you ever take a step. John 10:10 says that the devil cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. You think he doesn't want to kill you? He doesn't want you to walk in the street. He'll take you out. Stay within the lines of this book. Last thing Gerard will do is he'll pull ahead and he'll go faster than me. He likes to run. I don't. Like I said, I'm gaining weight. I don't like to run. He loves to, though. But he'll pull ahead and he'll pull on that leash so bad until he's literally choking himself, and he doesn't even care. Like, it's crazy. I'm like, how? Like, it's a pull leash. Like, it chokes you. Like, I don't even get it. And he'll get home and he'll go run to the water and he's coughing. But I'm like, man, that's what we do. That's what I do. We choke the Holy Spirit of God with all the sins that we get into and we don't even care. It says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. That's what we do. Quench not the Spirit. And my question to you is tonight, where are you pulling on the leash? Where are you disobeying God? Where are you finding something that's distracting you, seeing something across the street, some of those sins of the saints, and you're taking off to it? Why can't we just keep our eyes on Jesus? Where are you pulling on the leash tonight? And you might say, I'm not. Well, you know, Gerard's pretty quick when he goes on our walks, and he likes to choke himself. Let me ask you a couple questions. Okay, you're not quicker than the Lord, but how quick are we to run from conviction? How quick are we to hurry past our Bible time? How about our prayer time, right? Oh, I'll pray in the morning. Oh, okay, Lord, thank you for this. Oh, I'm going to bed. How quick are we to hurry past an opportunity to witness for Christ? This is something personal. I drove, like, through a yellow light because there was a homeless guy there yesterday, and I'm like, why did I do that? I'm like, I could have talked to him about Jesus. I didn't even, like, process that I did that till after. But regardless, how quick are we to run? How quick are we to make excuses and to justify? You can't balance sin out. So, you know, I say all that knowing that the Bible says there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. I know that this probably fits for a lot of you guys because, hey, it fits for me. And tonight, as we head into a new year and as I close, my only request is that we would just get honest with ourselves tonight. Get honest about where you're at with your walk with God. Now, maybe you've never had one. Maybe you're a lost sinner, bound for hell, and you don't know Jesus Christ. I'm saying receive him tonight. Maybe you're a Christian pulling on the leash. What distractions do you need to get rid of? What are those besetting sins that are just pulling you away from God, getting you out of line? What's holding you back? You know, maybe we all just need to take some time and slow down and just walk and talk with Jesus. It shouldn't be that hard. It's a walk. It's a marathon. It's not a run. There are some things that the Lord requires of you. He doesn't request them. What doth the Lord require of thee? Thee means you. You personally. What does he require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. And I'll end with this. If you're saved, will you get honest and humble yourself before God and get rid of whatever you need to get rid of tonight? So that you're not having a bad year in 2023. And if you don't know Christ personally, the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It says, if you believe not, you're already condemned. I'm saying, receive Jesus Christ tonight. He's a great God. He'll receive you with open arms, and he'll change your life. You've heard many testimonies here. He changed mine. You want mine? Come talk to me personally. He'll change you. I promise you. That's all I got.